Hey everyone, before we get into this episode, I just kind of want to lay the groundwork of what this is. It's titled A Very Special Episode. It's going to go on both A Slab of Glass and Getting Caught Up, which are both podcasts that I'm on, but also where Chris Lawley and Mike Rappin are on a show with me. This whole thing basically started because I was contemplating on changing my website. And Chris and Mike were both very vocal on it. And the idea of doing a quote-unquote intervention show would be something that they wanted to do. So this is what that is. And I think it's actually going to be really powerful for anyone that has imposter syndrome or is a creative that kind of is doubting what they're doing. Things like that. So without further ado, here's the show. And now that you know what's going on.
So what are we here to do today, Jeff?
You know what? Hold on. Let me open up my doc here because I actually wrote down my goals for this episode. While I open this up, Mike, do you want to do a quick intro of like who you are for
sure.
People that are listening that might not know who you are? Like,
and maybe Chris, who doesn't really know who I am.
Yes. No, I listen to your podcast, so I feel like I know you really well.
Oh, cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
My name is Mike Rappin. I'm a web developer and a huge comic book and D&D nerd. I run another podcast called I Read Comic Books, where we talk about comic books every week. And sometimes we talk to comic book creators, comic book academics, and stuff like that. I'm also on another show with Jeff called Getting Caught Up, where he and I just sit down and kind of talk about what's going on in our lives, as well as like a specific thing, usually around tech or nerddom, or just like we basically spend the episodes philosophizing. And it's a really awesome outlet that I've come to find that I like really, really look forward to, just to kind of speak my mind and have someone bounce ideas back. So I highly recommend my two other podcasts.
Okay. So the reason I have the two of you on, and we kind of did this like last second, was because of a thing I did.
What did you do, Jeff? What did you buy?
I bought a 2017 MacBook Pro.
No. Don't you have a website called Tablet Habit? Don't you really talk about the iPad all the time? Why did you buy a MacBook Pro?
I'm so upset that we're starting this way. Let's not get the cart in front of the horse here. Let's take this step by step. So I bought a MacBook Pro. And I have reasons for that we will get into in a minute.
Okay.
But I have goals for this podcast. This podcast is it can be an intervention, as it was mentioned on Twitter. It will not be a shame episode.
Okay.
Okay. No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I have a number of things that are going on, which was brought up that I do have a website called Tablet Habit that I created because I'm an iPad user and that was my main device.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I bought this MacBook is because I'm noticing more and more that the Mac is becoming a main device and I'm using it more and more, and I wanted something that had more power, and I wanted to give my old computer to my fiance Courtney, who had a issue with her computer. So we basically did this juggling and swapping down while I got a new computer, and she was fine with that. But I did that because I wanted a MacBook to use that was powerful enough for it to last for a while. And I wanted to see, you know, what the current Mac systems offer, and I'm loving it. And I think that I am becoming a person that uses the Mac first and an iPad and iPhone second. So now that we have the foundation laid, I have a couple of goals for this thing, like I mentioned. The first is to figure out if I need to change the name of my website and blog because I'm no longer an iPad user, and to figure out what exactly I should do with this, to continue where I should write this at, and to find out if I'm crazy or not.
Okay.
Those are my goals, to try and figure out what the hell to do. And the two of you have mentioned on Twitter that you are very much against me changing the name of my blog and changing my website and everything else, because I have a history of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I have a history of doing that. But I wanted to hear your opinion on that and kind of have a dialogue about it and go into it. So with that said, where do you guys want to start?
Mike, I'll let you start.
Oh, thank you. So the first thing I'll say is I don't think that it's just myself and Chris who are saying you shouldn't change your website name.
No, it's not. I will say that. I did get a couple of other people mention something to me about that as well.
Yeah, so going off of that, and because I've known you for so long, and you have this tendency to kind of switch to a new thing every 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, I do have a bit of shiny object syndrome.
It's not. I don't think that you should be ashamed of that. I think that that is like... that is a reflection of you, and this is me getting into my getting caught up mentality, so I'm like, let me just do this. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that it's like a reflection on your want to try new things when a lot of people won't, so you're not the type of person that's going to necessarily fall into a rut in terms of only doing the same 4 things and then also being super adamant about only doing those 4 things, right? But at the same time, one of the things I think you and I have talked about over the years, over on our podcast, just in general and in life, and I think I've heard you say it in many other places, not just between the two of us, is that consistency is key, right? If you want to build a brand, if you want to build anything that's going to go beyond just like a quick, like just little side project, like you need to stick with it and you need to like be consistent with it. And so, you know, you've done Tablet Habit for what, a little over a year? Close to a year?
Close to a year.
Yeah. So with that, that to me sounds like the first year of establishing the brand, you haven't even built upon it. Like you basically have a bunch of, like you own a neighborhood and you've built a bunch of foundations for houses, but you've never actually built the houses. So like people haven't had the chance to come and live in them and experience them fully, because like you need to build up a lot of that. I can't remember what it is. Is it pathos or ethos? One of those things, you know, to establish yourself to say, look, I've been doing this for long enough to say, look at the experience that I have. That way you become a trusted voice in a given space. And I understand like you feel like you're betraying the idea of Tablet Habit and saying, you know, my device is a tablet and that's it. But I don't think anyone functions like that. I mean, with maybe rare exception, Chris, maybe you're one of the rare exceptions. But even then, you know, you did say that you had a Mac Mini that you use for some processes. It's not like your whole life is just on the iPad. And I don't think that you should be ashamed in that. And maybe if you are switching over to a Mac, like, I don't know, you could still write on this site. Like, I think someone pointed out on Twitter that like Mac Rumors does a lot of stuff about iOS, but their site's called Mac Rumors.
Mac Stories.
You know, Mac Stories, excuse me. So yeah, it's all there. Like, I think that's kind of my big argument. So Chris, what are your thoughts on this?
So my big thought is Tablet Habit. I try saying that. Can you say that 5 times fast? Like Tablet Habit.
Tablet Habit, Tablet Habit, Tablet Habit, Tablet Habit, Tablet Habit.
Okay, I can't say it then. So your website is your brand. and I don't really want to get into the whole philosophical, like, you know, this is your brand and this is what people know you as and stuff like that. But really, that's true. Like people, you go on podcasts and you talk about your stuff and you point people there. So you don't want like to point people to there and then have them go redirect to a different website. That's you want to stick with your guns, like stick with what you have. And that's important. Build that up from there. The other thing is, I've said this a lot on this particular podcast. It doesn't matter what tool you use to do your work, as long as you know what your work is and you get it done. So if you want to start talking more about Mac stuff, if you want to start talking about Automator stuff, if you want to start talking about Mac apps or Marzipan stuff or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, use whatever tool you need. Like, that's totally fine. If you want to talk about iOS stuff while using a Mac, that's fine too. It ultimately, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, use what tool fits for you. And like we were talking about earlier, I use a Mac Mini at work. I use a Linux machine. I even have a Windows VM. Like, I totally, like, use other stuff because that's what I have to do to get my work done. So it's totally not shameful. It's not anything you should be upset about. It's not something that like, okay, well, now that you're using a Mac, you're being ousted from the iOS community and stuff like that. Like nobody's going to kick you out. Like it's everybody on Twitter that we kind of all talk about iOS stuff and iPad stuff together with. Like we're all pretty cool. Like we're all pretty open. Like you can ask any of us a question and, you know, we'll answer and stuff like that. So I wouldn't feel like you're betraying some idea. That's for sure.
It's not like you're switching over to Android or anything.
Yeah, if you're switching over to Android, I'd just end the podcast. Like, done.
Well, I did buy a Google Pixel 2 while I was there too, guys, so.
Oh, no, Jeff, no.
Oh, don't, no.
I'm kidding. No, you know what? You know, you guys want to know what the future is? It's the new BlackBerry. I'm going BlackBerry only. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to do...
I've heard they're making a comeback. Heard
good things. But no, okay. So like to kind of rebuttal a few things there, I will say I didn't realize how much traffic I got. I'm looking at my tweets right now, how much traffic I got with like the picture I sent of my MacBook and like the couple of things that I tweeted out the other day about it. Like, a lot of people like were really responsive on it and interested to sort of see what I had to say about it. Not necessarily like shaming me on it or being like, oh, you betrayed us. You broke the code or you like things like that. Like that never happened. Not one person said anything like that. They were just intrigued to see what kind of things come out from it, what I had to say about it. And honestly, I can't think of a better outcome than that. With that said, though, and much like every other project that I've either killed, changed, or ruined, it always ends up being an existential crisis with me. It always is an internal battle that I have to kind of fight with myself, and 90% of the time I lose.
Sure, sure.
It's this battle of like, well, does this fit what I want to do? Does this branding like work, or like, you know, what's this new shiny thing that I could do here? Or like, what if I did this? And then I kind of like sprinkle some more ideas on these, these new things that I want to try or whatever. And then like, because I don't have all of the time in the world, I move over to these new things to try them out. And then the old things that I was doing before just kind of go away. And, you know, with all of that said, my concern with tablet habit, and I have whole, like, I should just share you guys the doc I have here. But, like, the reason that I originally wanted to change the name of the blog and things like that was because I knew that I would love this Mac going into it. The reason I bought this Mac wasn't just as an experiment. I bought this Mac because I wanted a new Mac and I wanted it to be my main device. Like, I knew that going in, that this is probably what is going to happen. And I understand that like the tools don't necessarily make the person, but at the same time, I always feel like I am kind of betraying, or like I am kind of being a little ridiculous with the idea of using a Mac and writing about the iPad with it, and like kind of touting of like all these great things that you can do with iOS and the iPad and things like that. And then I have, not completely abandoned the iPad, but like I've moved to the Mac as my main device and I use the iPad less and less. Like I just sort of feel like I'm saying if I had a blog about an Android, I'm like, I love the Android so much. I love it. It's an amazing device. You can do all these really cool customizing things with it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm typing it all on an iPhone, you know, like I just sort of feel dirty about it.
Are you going to turn off your iPad and shove it in a drawer and never look at it again? Or are you still going to use it? Are you still going to write on it? Are you still going to play with workflow? Are you still going to use things? Are you still going to watch YouTube videos on it? Are you still going to use it, right?
Yes. Yes and yes.
So you're still going to use it. It's not like you're talking about Android and you don't own an Android device. You're still going to use it. And that's okay. There's a lot of people that talk about iOS stuff and iPad stuff, and they also have a desktop Mac or a Mac server or something like that. It's totally okay that you use one or the other. And then 6 months or 4 months or whatever, if you decide, okay, maybe this experiment isn't working out, you can always go back to the iPad. And then if 6 months and 4 months after that, you decide, I kind of miss the Mac, you can go back to that. It's totally an open door. It doesn't have to be a them versus us. It doesn't have to be a... It's not like back in the day when it was Windows versus Mac, where you had to take a firm stance and like you had to be a PC person or you had to be a Mac person. Like there was no middle ground there. It's not like that anymore. Like there, it's an ecosystem. And I know a lot of people don't like that. And a lot of people don't like that term and stuff, but it really does. It flows together. And that's something Apple is really good at, is making their products flow together. And the Mac and the iPad complement each other.
Yeah. No, I can agree to that wholeheartedly. I think that is a fair assessment to it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that tweet that, you know, you talking about the amount of like engagement and stuff you got on that tweet is proof enough that people are interested enough to hear your voice and like hear your thoughts on this change, mm-hmm. right? Like they, at this point, they're not just saying, let's go to the iPad guy. They're like, let's go to Jeff. You know, I think that's something that you should take away from that. Like mm-hmm. that's a huge mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's yeah. big.
Okay. I think that that's fair. I don't know. Like, I still, like, I think I'm going to continue to write with Tablet Habit for several reasons. One, as much as I want to change the name, I have a list of like 40 names that I was just playing around with the other night. I hate all of them. I can't like any of them. I will keep that list, and I'll actually like, I'll either put it in the show notes or whatever. If any of you want to use these, you can feel free to use them. Like some I like is Mac Thrive, Root Power, Swift Source, Quixie.
Are you going to start writing Swift apps? I mean,
yeah. Are you going to start talking about Swift?
I might. I am trying to learn coding and web development, and I'm also playing a lot with Swift Playgrounds. But that's not the point of this.
But this is totally relevant, right? So if you're trying to learn Swift, like this goes to show, like you could do that on the Mac, you could do that on the iPad, and it would be just as relevant. Like no matter what, at the end of the day, if you're trying to say I'm building an iPad app or I'm building an iOS app, you could talk about it from the standpoint of from a tablet or from a Mac. You know, it totally works. I think, again, like this is just more reinforcement to say, like, if you re-angle things or try to like step back and look at things from a different angle, it can totally be applicable back to the greater, you know, Tablet Habit brand or whatever you want to call that.
The Tablet Habit MCU.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like I there was one thing I wrote with this is and I think I need to kind of remember this like going forward is that like a name is what you make of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought of a couple of things that came to mind when I was writing this down, like Daring Fireball doesn't make any sense unless you know who John Gruber is and you kind of understand that. And like, you know, that Daring Fireball is John Gruber's website and like, that's where he writes stuff. And then I also thought of things like The Onion. Like, The Onion has zero reference or representation of what the actual thing is. The Onion is just a satirical news website that, like, doesn't make any reference to onions ever. Like, a name is kind of what you make of it. Like, I could just have a website that is just a couple of garbage words that have nothing to do with anything. And if I want to make that my brand, I can.
My website's just the Untitled site. And I mean, before that, it was originally going to be called Random mm-hmm. Shit, but my girlfriend at the time wouldn't let me call it that. So I couldn't come up with a name. So I literally came up with the one name that doesn't actually have a name. It's just the Untitled site.
And I took a page out of your book for that. And one of them that I was actually really, really kind of curious to use or not was Title to Come. Which I thought was fun.
That would have been funny. Yeah,
I actually might buy that and just have that redirect. I might just buy Titled to Come. Okay, so you know, with this kind of, with my personal kind of crises over, I think that, you know,
we solved it, guys. We did it.
Woohoo! Yeah, we fixed Jeff. Therapy sessions.
We got this done in 20 minutes. I'm very shocked at how quickly it was.
I think podcasts are like the best version of therapy.
I mean, I think that's why I keep coming back to them, is that it's a way for me to have therapy and I get to talk with, you know, people like you guys, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, with that said, I have a feeling that like, but the both of you have more thoughts on this, and I know for sure Mike does, but I want to kind of like hear from the both of you of like, I don't know if this is like what you want to consider like imposter syndrome, or if this is something you want to consider, you know, just like something that is more normal than some people want to admit. Like I like to think that the people that are listening to this have either had issues like this, like that, or are going through issues like this right now and kind of listening to this, kind of working out their own issues and figuring out what they want to do and their projects and things like that. Like, what else would you guys want to say to someone that might be in a very similar position as me listening to this?
So I think for me, we were actually chatting just a little bit ago before we jumped on the Skype call, and I mentioned I still don't feel like a real podcaster. This would probably be the 11th episode of A Slab of Glass right now. And like, it just doesn't feel real. Like, I see all these other people talking about, like, you know, how their podcast is doing and, you know, what's going on with them. And even YouTube stuff, too. I don't even feel like a real, like, YouTuber. I really hate that word, by the way. But I don't feel like I'm somebody that's really contributing to any community. I feel like I'm just kind of putting stuff up there. And it's you know, kind of going through the motions almost. So it's definitely very real. And I would say I feel, regarding the YouTube stuff, I feel a lot better about where I am now than where I was a year ago. Like, you know, you start to hear references and stuff to, and this is going to sound really egotistical. So
we just did an entire 20-minute thing about how I should not change the name of my blog. Like, let's get that out of there. Like
yeah, we just talked about Jeff for 20 minutes straight. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So like anytime I hear my name dropped or like I see a link to one of my video references or something, I think it's just really cool. And it just makes me feel a little bit better that I may actually be part of a community and not just kind of like forcing my way into like the cool kids club and trying to like, you know, just sit down at the table and chat with people. Like I actually kind of start to feel like I'm a part of something. And it's definitely something very real that I think a lot of people just don't feel like they belong, but you do. Like there's always a place for you to belong somewhere. And it's probably usually something really cool that you believe in. If there's something you really like doing, whether it's like reading comic books, playing video games, watching old movies, talking about iPad stuff, whatever, there's a place for you to belong. And that imposter syndrome, you know, I feel it every day, but it's just something you just kind of keep working at every single day. I don't know if there's like one quick answer to solving it. I think you just got to keep working at it every day and eventually it'll just, you know, kind of go away one day, I think. Or maybe it never does. I don't know. I haven't got there.
Yeah, this is something that I think about every once in a while. Like, you know, it'll be, I'm the type of person that stays up till like 2 or 3 in the morning just because I'm an insane person and like almost every day of the week. And so like, at, you know, in those late hours, you kind of, you get that feeling of like, oh, do I actually belong to this thing that I've been participating in for so many, you know, for so long? And, you know, in the case of something like, I used to get this a lot with work, right? So I'm, you know, I build websites and stuff. And the thing that kind of solidified my, like, it basically got rid of the imposter syndrome that I was feeling, or maybe this sense of I didn't belong to this greater, like, development community, was I sat down and explained something that was seemingly simple to me, but was incredibly intricate and understandable to another person. And I did it with ease. And like on one end, like you have to be able to explain something and convey your ideas like in a way that is understandable by others. But at the same time, you know, what you thought was a simple thing, if you go and explain it to somebody and you realize you've been talking for 10 minutes and it wasn't just like convoluted talk, it was like explaining the necessities, everything that you need to know. And the fact that you just know that is like proof that you really understand something, right? So whether that's, you know, comic books or iPads or development or anything like that, I think that can be completely explained to say, you know, if you've put the work in over however much time, as soon as you go and sit down and try to explain whatever you've been working on or you've been studying or like been really, really into for the last, you know, say year or something like that, or however long you've been involved, if you go to explain that to someone who's not involved at all and you're able, you know, to do that without any hesitation and you know all the answers to every question that they have, I mean, that can really alleviate any of the imposter syndrome that you have. And I mean, it's one thing, I don't know, it's one thing with development, I think that I just have a tech-oriented mind, so like a lot of things are all just like weird logic problems and stuff like that. But even with like comic books, understanding the history of something or understanding, you know, how the X-Men have functioned for the last 30 years without it getting too boring or too soap opera-y, and that's not true because it has been boring and soap opera-y, you know, at times. But
the X-Men are like the best soap opera ever.
Yeah, but like still sitting down and having a conversation about so much stuff, it's like, I've read all these comics and then you have a conversation with someone about it. And it's like, if you didn't think you belonged to this community or that you weren't as in it as you thought, like you can totally disprove that just by having a conversation with someone, which is why it's so important to go out and kind of try to get over that fear of not communicating with others in the community. Because as soon as you do, you can really understand like where you fit and that you actually belong, especially if you've put the work in. So like, it sounds to me like you, Chris, like you've put the work in. Jeff, obviously, I know you've put the work in for all your stuff. And I think that shows, you know, especially if people are referencing your stuff or talking about your site or whatever without you even being involved in the conversation, I think that's proof enough that you're doing something right.
Yeah. And like, one of the best things that I did in regards to like community and like kind of like creating a group of like I've been in the same boat where I just sort of like, sometimes you feel like you're on an island and you kind of feel like you're seeing everyone else kind of in the mainland and they're like having all this grand time and you're just, you feel isolated and you feel like you're stuck in this island that's far away enough to where you can't interact with them, but not far away enough where you can't see them. And like one thing that I wanted to do to kind of negate that was to create my own kind of community. It was originally a Facebook group. I quit Facebook and I moved it over to like Slack. And, you know, that community, while it is small in many people's kind of definition, I think it's probably one of my favorite places to go to communicate with people and to hear other people's thoughts on things and just kind of catch up on my internet friends and kind of see what everyone is up to and their feelings on this thing, this piece of news or whatever. Like I created my own community in a sense because I was kind of tired not having that and I wanted to do something about it. And that's still probably one of my favorite things that I've done was to create that Slack group and have people join it and have people be a part of it. And this isn't a solicitation for you to join, but like if you are listening to this and you're kind of in that same boat, you can join that community and talk about iPad stuff and Mac stuff and Apple's news or, you know, whatever else that it comes to your mind at like iPadonly.com. And you can join and be a part of that. And that's probably one of my favorite things to do. But there are other communities and stuff that I'm also a part of. And I'm sure you guys have some places that you would point people to that want to be a part of a community, depending on what, you know, specific topic it is. But like another one that I really enjoy is the Mac Power Users chat group, which was another Facebook group that has since moved. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, but like I go there and I kind of read up and it's a very clean looking BBEdit forum message board kind of style. I really like that kind of thing. Are there any other like groups or communities or things that you guys like to go to that are accessible for people that want to come in and acceptable for newcomers as well? Like, do you have any places like that? Since we are in the topic of community, like where can you point people to go to if they want to, whether it's like comics or tech or, you know, wherever, like, do you have any, like a list of things that people would want to go to?
Yes, Jeff, as soon as yes. Sorry, you were kind of talking in circles there.
What I'm saying, Mike, is that the community, and I want people to have,
oh my gosh. Come, let me know when you're done asking the question and I will.
I'm going to go make a drink really quick, okay?
He's going to take a shot of vodka.
I don't mean to be a complete asshole and interrupt you. I just wanted to, I have an answer. I mean, when it comes to tech stuff, I have a small circle of just tech people that I know either on Twitter or I have like a small Telegram group of people that I talk to. But I'm not very good at participating in tech because I still feel that like I'm pretty good at my job. I do what I do and I feel like I'm a respected member of my team at work. But when I go out to the greater community, I can see that there are so many more people that are smarter than me and doing way more interesting things, that it's hard to participate, unless you're answering like very basic 101, 102 type questions. So I would say just, you know, go on Slack and maybe I would say go on Stack Overflow and maybe like vote on things if you can and participate in that community, especially when it comes to very basic, simple questions, find duplicates and all that jazz. But as far as comic books go, I'm a huge proponent of the Reddit comic book subreddit as well as the Discord. And I say that not only as a like long-standing member and like mod of the organization, but like the community for the most part is pretty positive. And the mod team is some of the like coolest, most laid-back folks that don't take any bullshit. Like there's a whole problem in comics right now around a whole thing. I don't want to get into it. And they've been really good at making sure that people who want to talk about comic books feel like they're safe to have a conversation that's open. And I really love that group. But I also have this whole other podcast of like 10 people that I talk to all the time about comics. And that's like, it's a small group. but it's a group that I like know everybody. I know their interests. I know all that kind of stuff. So you can also check out my podcast. Just plug that again. I mean, but that's but the whole big thing about it is, you know, just one last bit, because Chris, I want to let you get in as well. Is the biggest thing is to just participate, find a community, and just participate a little bit until you feel more comfortable to participate more. It's just jump in, add that I like this comment to a Reddit thread, or respond to someone on Twitter and say, "Oh, that's so cool!" Like, that's, you don't really have to do that much to get in, like get your foot in the door for participation. I think it's just getting comfortable with participating is the hardest part for a lot of people. So I would say just do that. Find your thing that you like and try to just participate little by little. And as it becomes more comfortable to you, you will want to participate more. And especially when you start to get positive feedback or people responding to you as well.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I would definitely give, you know, an upvote to Reddit, but not just Reddit as a whole. Like, I would look for something very specific that you do. So, I'm an IT guy by day. Like, that's my day job. So, like, the sysadmin Reddit is actually a really fun place to go. Like, the other day, there was some major nationwide DNS issues. So, you know, there really wasn't anything IT guys could do about it. So, you know, a lot of people were just making jokes in the Reddit, and it was a lot of fun. But if you have something that's very specific about what you do, like if you like something like model trains or a very specific video game or something like that, I guarantee you there's a subreddit already for it. So you could just like go in there and just like take a look and just start talking to people. The smaller the Reddit, the better it will be. That I can promise you. Usually there's an asterisk on that, and I would avoid the big ones like R Gaming or R like Picks or whatever, like, you know, like avoid the super big ones that everybody goes to. But like, if you can find like a small Reddit, like a lot of times those are pretty good. And I do say a lot, like asterisk on that, maybe, you know, just do a little bit of lurking and just kind of see how it's all before you jump in. But the other thing too is I as nerds, a lot of us are introverts, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I know me, I'm a huge introvert, and I had a really hard time going out and meeting people. And fortunately, in my last job, I had a boss that kind of took me under his wing, and we did a lot of stuff, and we really got to know each other, and we both realized we were both really into craft beer. And he did a lot of big events and stuff around the town and stuff, and even further out. So he started bringing me to those events, and I started meeting a lot of people. So don't rule out doing stuff in the real world, because that's a nice break from the internet. Like, sometimes, you know, YouTube, you get, and I'll just be honest, you get shitty comments on YouTube. I actually had to ban somebody for the first time about a week ago because they were just being an absolute horrible human being in the comment section. And just being able to go out, go to a place, go to an event, go to a bar, whatever, and just know that there are people there that, you know, I could just sit there and talk really nerdy craft beer stuff with them. It's a lot of fun, and it can be a mental break too from my day job, because my day job involves technology, and then my side hustle is also technology too. So, you know, maybe mix it up as well. Maybe don't, if you're, you know, doing a lot of stuff in tech already, maybe try and find something, you know, that's a little more analog.
Model trains. I like that idea.
Yeah, I don't know why that was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
I have no idea why that was strange. It was the first thing that came to mind.
There's a big community around that. I know that as a fact. Like, I've been to hobby shops that are dedicated to that kind of stuff. It blows my mind how much is out there. And people are fervently buying that stuff to build whatever monster train set they have in their basement or attic or whatever. Maybe it's in the middle of their house. I don't know. Maybe it goes around their whole house. I don't know. But yeah, it's I just like that example, because that's, I think, the perfect example of a niche community that is very, 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 like, it's not huge, but it's not small. And the people that are involved really, really care about the craft. I mean, yeah, just from the handful of people I know that I've talked to that do that kind of stuff, it's always really interesting.
Who do you think is a bigger community, model trains or miniature airplane model? Or not models, like the RC airplanes that they can build?
I would say the RC airplanes. I used to live in a place in North Carolina that there was like a small airstrip, like right across from where we were living. And that thing was flooded with people all from all over the state, like every weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
Big competitions around that stuff, too.
Yeah, so, Jeff, so how are you feeling now?
Great question.
I mean, I feel fine. I feel better. You know, I think it's going to be an ongoing process. I don't think it's going to be, I feel a lot better. I'll never think about this again. I'm going to think about it again, probably. But, like, I think I need to kind of just remember that the name isn't what makes me and the tools aren't what make me. It's, you know, the work that I do that makes me, which sounds like a cat poster, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I know. And I know I say it all the time, too, but I truly do believe it, that it's not the tools, it's the craftsman.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel a lot better with that, and I think that is something that I'm going to have to work on and kind of make a consistent part of my thinking process with that kind of thing. But also like talking about the community and things like that, I still feel like I am very active in it, and it's very refreshing to sort of see people respond to the fact that I got this new computer and knowing that I'm probably going to talk about it soon and things like that. And they're showing genuine interest with it without me soliciting for it or anything like that. That is very encouraging and very validating, which I know not everyone can get. But for me personally, it's something that I really enjoy and I get a fire under me from. So that helps a lot knowing that. And I think that that's just going to have to continue to be what I do.
Anybody else got anything they want to add before we wrap up?
I think this, I'm still like kind of ruminating on this idea of like, how do you participate more in a podcast community? But I think that the straight answer to that is try to find your way into guesting on a show and vice versa. Getting people from other shows to guest on your show, I think, is like the best way to do it. Interact with folks on Twitter and whatever social media, usually Twitter, I think is the best, but that's just my opinion on it.
I've actually been working on guests, like being a guest on other people's podcasts recently. I just did.
Yeah. I think I just need to farm myself out to other comic book podcasts. That's my thing.
That's what I did. Like, you know, cold emails or quick mentions on Twitter that turn into DMs or whatever. And you're just able to do that podcast. And it's all people that like of shows that I listen to. It's not like me Googling what other podcasts are there about the iPad or about Apple that are indie. Like, there's shows that I listen to and like things that I want to be a part of and things that I enjoy listening to. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to be a guest if they'll have me. And I throw myself out there and they're like, yeah, sure. Let me know when you want to be on, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I did.
Gotcha.
So it's not hard to do. It's just a quick message, and you might be surprised on what kind of results you get.
Yep. Yep. Completely agree.
So Mike, if you want to be found and you want more people to engage with you and be part of your community, where can they do that?
Yeah, so if you guys want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at Mike Rappin. You can also check out my other podcast, I Read Comic Books, at IRCB Podcast or IRCBpodcast.com.
What about you, Chris?
You can find my website, theuntitledsite.com. That'll have links to all my projects, YouTube, Slab of Glass, all the fun stuff that are on there. I am going to start doing a bit more blogging with a focus on iOS automation. So if you're interested in that, definitely check out the website. Jeff, what about you?
You can find me over at tablethabit.com, and you can find me over on Twitter at I am Jeff Perry as well. And who knows what I'm going to be writing about, but you'll find all of it at tablethabit.com, because it's not changing today.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean, you just got those cool stickers, man. How can you abandon the site?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I actually would have been really upset, like, if you abandoned it and I put that sticker on my iPad.
Yeah,
I'd have been stuck with it until September.
Not gonna lie, that was a big reason as to why I was leaning towards not changing the name.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because not only did I send it to you guys, I also sent it to a bunch of people that I randomly said, like, hey, you know, first 7 people to mention me and want a sticker, let me know. And they went out like hotcakes. It was insane. And so I was, and then I get pictures of people tweeting of like the sticker on their iPad, which is like amazing to see that, but like also crazy terrifying because I knew that this was going on in my head at the time. I'm just like, I'm going to disappoint a lot of people.
I love how you shamed yourself into keeping the website. You told us not to shame you, but you shamed yourself.
That's why I didn't want to. I didn't want it to be doubled down. I like I already did enough. Oh God, Mike! Thank you both for doing this. I appreciate it, like, especially since it was so last minute.
Yeah, no problem.
Of course.
This was fun, and you know, hopefully we can do something like that again. I'm still debating of like where this should go. If this is going to go on a slab of glass, or getting caught up, or if you want this to be like a, why not just have it on both and just do it that way?
I'm totally okay with both. If we can call this a very special episode of A Slab of Glass. I know it's not.
It's so right.
You know, it's back in the sitcom days when, you know, they had to talk about the no-no topics. And yeah, it could be the very special episode.